This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
4 minutes after 12 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. And unfortunately, Andy's just put out the fire. We had one thing for our list, thanks to Carl in Leeds, which is a good contribution about fire extinguishers. But Andy is, he's a fire extinguisher expert. You can tell this because his Twitter account references it. And he's explained that the fire extinguishers branding or colouring forces people to read the extinguisher so they know what it can and can't be used for. Plus, of course, he reminds us of the existence of colourblind people. It also allows the extinguishers to have better pictorial instructions for safe use, and they shouldn't be used anyway except by trade persons, and therefore they would know of the differing extinguishers. So Carl's point was made in good faith, but unfortunately it hasn't stood up to expert scrutiny. And if you're wondering what we were talking about over the last 2 hours, because you only tune in for Mystery Hour, you peasants, then no prizes for guessing. When I said his suggestion was made in good faith, but unfortunately it doesn't stand up to scrutiny. Yeah, we were having a little trip down memory lane and talking Brexit. 5 minutes after 12 is the time. I've got some quite good news. I think it's really exciting about arguably the finest call we've ever taken on this programme, certainly one of the most powerful and moving calls, which we took on Holocaust Memorial Day. And I promised you that the lady we spoke to would be afforded a much bigger space in which to tell us her story. You remember Lily. I've got some news for you on that, which I'll share with you either later today or tomorrow. So stick around. Stay tuned. 5 minutes after 12, as they used to say in the 70s. Shall we kick off Mystery Hour? Shall we? Is this my second caller from Beverly today, or have we accidentally put somebody through twice? Michael is in Beverly. Is this your first time on the programme today?
It is absolutely the first time on the programme.
James O'Brien, big in Beverly. Welcome.
Big fan, James. Keep doing what you do. There's a lot of us that appreciate it before I hit you with the question.
Eventually everybody will, because as all of my predictions come true, so trust in the brand will grow, Michael. But it's just a question of how long it's going to take. Anyway, what's your question?
Palm of our hand, yes. Doesn't tan, doesn't get sunburnt. My question isn't why, because I think if we asked why, we would say, well, it's evolution, and it'd probably be something to do with protecting your hands.
Yeah.
So my question is more, at what point in human evolution did that occur? And I know I'm only allowed one question, so I can't say when did it occur and why. So I suppose when did it occur maybe is more interesting of the two.
I think you've fallen into a Mystery Hour hole. It's a frequent trap, this, when you start trying to second-guess your own question. But
that's true.
I mean, why don't your palms sunburn? I wouldn't allow evolution as an answer. I would need a chemical explanation, a biological explanation.
Well, I'm happy to go down whichever route you think best, but I was sort of interested in the respect of at what point, maybe? Because if you think,
so you're wondering whether Neanderthal man did suffer from burnt palms.
Exactly. That's the more interesting question, I think. If you go back through
history. Do you really, Michael? Do you though?
I quite like human history.
Well, I like human history, but I'm more interested in why my palms don't burn than I am in whether or not a Neanderthal's palms did.
I'll allow you to make the decision on which route we go down, James.
I'll tell you what, you're such a nice man. I shall probably allow a little bit of embellishment when we finally get the answer. But I think we have to begin with why don't palms burn. The rest of it may not be answerable. And although the answer probably involves something to do with melanin or melatonin, something with a special chemical, what is in your skin that makes you go brown. And thickness. The palms are really thick. I don't know, but we'll find out. Thank you, Michael. Max is in Norwich. Esoteric observation there about minsters and cathedrals, but I have a feeling that I'd lose the room, so I won't. From Beverly to Norwich, Max is there. Question or answer, Max?
It's a question, please, James.
Carry on, mate.
Where does the universal recognition of little green men or aliens come from? So the inverted teardrop head with the big eyes instantly recognised as an alien. Where did that start?
I like that question. I mean, I'm just speculating out loud because, you know, that's what we do. I'm thinking of Back to the Future and comics.
Well, I thought comics, because obviously they came before the alleged Roswell, etc., which yes. they've never been here. It's never been proven. So where did it come from?
Yeah, well, a fiction, obviously, but we want a little bit more detail than that.
Yeah,
H.G. Wells,
where did the stereotypical alien start from?
Yeah, the well-established meme of the little green man as an alien, where did it start?
That's it.
It's a great question, that, mate. I like it a lot.
Thank you very much. I hope we can answer it.
Well, there you go. That's not up to us. Andy is in Morden. Andy, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Yes.
Why do birds not crossbreed?
I prefer the original. The one about them falling in love. It's just more catchy.
Because you get why do if they birds come into close contact with each other.
Da, 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 da. Not crossbreed. That's just not got it, mate, has it? It's not. Sorry, I'm a bit excitable today. Yeah, it's a good question.
Lions and tigers, if they come into close contact, they will crossbreed on the odd occasion.
They will.
Horses and donkeys.
Bringing us a liger.
Yeah.
Horses and donkeys give us mules or asses, don't they? But also, more obviously, various different types of dog. I mean, species
indeed.
And breed, something about species and breed. Why don't we have loads and loads of mongrel birds?
Because you've got crows, rooks, and ravens, they're all very, very similar.
Yeah, but they keep it. They never mix it up, though, do they? You never see a sparrow stepping out with a blue tit.
Not at all.
Or a robin getting jiggy with a magpie.
So, what's the answer?
I love the question. I hope there is an answer. Why aren't there any mongrel birds? And what's the origin of the little green man as the sort of stereotypical alien? And what was the first? Why don't you palm sunburn? I love these questions. Thank you for making the opening bars of Mystery Hour so melodious this week. George is in Manchester. George, question or answer?
Hi, James. It's a question, please.
Carry on.
I grew up around the farms in Lancashire, and it was always this kind of common myth that if you ever step foot on the farmer's land, he can legally shoot you down. Just wondering if that's actually true. Can I actually get mowed down by a farmer? Then he'll get off scot-free.
No.
Great, perfect.
I mean, I know that this can't possibly be true, because there is one recorded incident of a farmer shooting someone who was actually climbing out of his window, and that farmer went to jail. So the idea that he'd be allowed to shoot you if you stepped onto his field, get off my land, is clearly not the case. I mean, if the only circumstances in which you can kill someone or shoot someone is in, you've got to have a legally held firearm and be in self-defence. But even then, I don't know whether the law would allow a farmer to shoot you. So no, you've got nothing to worry about. But be careful,
Yeah, no, I'm picturing a scenario where a farmer catches his wife cheating and he's legally allowed to blow them both away.
Okay. But, well, what have you been up to, George?
Well, wouldn't you like to know?
Well, yes.
No.
That's a very different legal proposition, because that could be a crime passionnel, George. That could be a crime of passion. So he might have a defence if he finds you in bed with his wife, but he wouldn't have a defence if he found you, I don't know, playing havoc with his cornfields.
Great. Well, that's one more word ticked off the list.
I don't know what to make of this call. Give him a round of applause, quick. But seriously, be aware. He can't shoot you for being on his land, but he could shoot you for being on his wife, and he might have a defence as a rush of blood. You get that's the thing, isn't it? It's a defence in court, a crime passion, crime of passion. I think it is. 12:13 is the time. 03456060973 is the number that you need. My first round of applause of the week. Thank you for that. Why aren't there mongrel birds? Why don't the palms of our hands burn? They probably would. I mean, sunburn, I probably would, wouldn't they? If you were in the desert and it was really hot and you just poked your hand out of the tent, it would burn, I think. But, you know, you understand the parameters of the question. And what was the other one? The mongrel birds, the palms of the hands, and the little green man. Thank you, Keith. Matthew's in Wembley. Matthew, question or answer?
It's a question, thanks, James.
Carry on.
OK, well, first of all, pleasure to speak to you. But on Monday, for the first time ever, I gave blood. It was entirely for medical reasons for myself, but I'm really happy to be doing it.
Yes.
But what I really want to know is, when do I get it all back?
When will you be topped up?
Yeah, exactly. When will my body sort that all out for itself?
I quite like that question. It may be built upon a false premise, but it's one that I've fallen for as well as you, so I don't think there's any criticism entailed there. Mm-hmm. But if you give, I mean, how much did you give? Can you remember?
Oh, I don't know, actually. But, just the standard amount.
What is the standard amount? Does anyone know? About a pint, is it, or something? I mean, it's a significant amount, isn't it? It's not like a little nip. Mm-hmm. So it's, let's say a pint. So you're a pint down on the on the day. And when will you... I like that. I mean, it may not, as I say, it might not be how things work, but if it is, we'll get you an answer.
Yeah, great. Thanks very much.
I suppose the answer would be linked to when you would be able to give blood again, wouldn't it? So, or not. Why are you pulling a face, Keith? I'm usually right on these things. Haven't you been paying attention? It's coming up to 12:15. Should we squeeze in one more before the break? No, we won't. We'll come back and start answering them. So why don't our palms sunburn? Why don't the palms of our hands get sunburn? Where does the little green man come from as a universally recognised meme for aliens from outer space? Why don't we get mongrel birds? And how long does it take to replace for the blood that you donate to be replenished within your body? It's 12:15.
This is LBC. Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
18 minutes after 12 is the time. You are listening to Mystery Hour with James O'Brien, where we attempt to solve usually quite silly mysteries, but occasionally deadly serious ones. I'll remind you of what's on the board today in a moment, because we shall crack on first with some calls. Let's go to Mark, who's in Radlett. Mark, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
It's actually on behalf of my 9-year-old daughter.
Excellent.
We were out on a journey on the motorway a couple of days ago.
Oh, yes.
And like a lot of 9-year-olds, halfway through the journey, she said, "Oh, Dad, I need the loo. Let's stop somewhere."
Yes.
So
a lot of 48-year-olds as well, Mark, but you've probably got that to look forward to. Carry on.
We stopped at services and took her to the loo, and we got back in the car. And she said, "What happens if the Queen is travelling somewhere and she needs the toilet?" Because obviously she doesn't just stop at services like we did.
And why do you say that? Why do you say obviously?
Well, could you imagine?
You never know who you're going to bump into at a service station.
Would have to come in first and clean out, check everything was safe. I mean, it would just, I don't think it's feasible, is it?
No, probably not. So we are wondering whether there are secret toilets.
Yes, is there
between
a secret
here
toilet
and
in the Queen's car?
Well, she usually goes to Sandringham on the train. I don't know that she makes particularly long journeys by car, as a matter of course. I know she's a great fan of the programme, particularly Mystery Hour, as long as there's no racing on the telly, but I don't think decorum allows her to actually ring in herself. She might be able to get a lady in waiting to do it or something. So, Mom, if you are able to answer this question, how old is your 9-year-old? What's their name?
Nine. Summer. Her name's
Summer.
Summer.
So it's a 9-year-old subject, Your Majesty. Young Summer. You could have a royalist for life here if you've got a lady in waiting to ring in and tell us about your lavatorial habits. Now that I've said it out loud, I can see how unlikely that is. So we need to know for Summer where the Queen stops for a wee.
Yes.
All right, I shall see what I can do. And an answer would involve someone ringing in saying, I saw her at Selby Fork Services, wouldn't it? Or I saw her at Heston. I'll tell you what, if she's stopping at Heston, then she probably needs to see the doctor, because she's barely left the house. 0345 6060 973. Ex-Royal Protection, something like that. Someone will know. Someone needs an answer. Let's provide it if we can. Bradley's in Gillingham. Bradley, question or answer?
I've got a question, James, but you haven't answered my question from last week.
It's not my job to answer it. It's the listeners. And to get through twice in a fortnight, mate, there'll be people claiming it's been rigged and fixed here. It'll be like Republicans talking about American politics. Go on.
Okay, my girlfriend's blonde, okay? When she makes a mistake, she goes, "Oh, typical dumb blonde." That's what she says, right? Because she thinks that sugar diabetes is a Welsh featherweight.
Stop it. Don't do the jokes. Get on with the question,
no,
all right?
No, honestly, she does. And I said to her, "Well, I've never heard of a Welsh dart player called that."
Yes,
honestly, no. So where does that saying come from?
Because dumb blonde.
Yeah, because I sent her in a shot that gets a double cream.
No, Bradley, I really don't want rubbish jokes. There are a few areas of this programme where I wouldn't invite help from the public, but rubbish jokes, mate, I've got it covered.
No, honestly, that's what she says.
No, honestly, I've got it covered. She doesn't go to... She doesn't go... Have you ever sent her to the builder's merchants to get a jar of elbow grease, Bradley?
No, but she puts sugar in the fridge and the milk in the cupboard.
And she asks for a new bubble for her spirit level, does she?
No. But she went to the shop to get some double cream and come out with two singles because they didn't have any doubles.
Yeah. All right.
Honestly.
I like the question, oddly, about the origin of blondness as a signifier of a lack of intelligence. I don't know why, and desperately unfairly, but I'm sort of thinking of the Hollywood, the Jane Mansfields or the Marilyn Monroes, but I can't think why. That's very unfair of me. I suppose it's misogyny, is it, in its root? It's just the idea that the more blonde women considered to be particularly attractive, and the more attractive you are, the more a certain type of man wants to I sort of deny your agency and your autonomy, your intelligence. I don't know. I'll find out. Where does the idea of the dumb blonde come from? 22 after 12 is the time. You are allowed to ring in with answers, you know. It doesn't have to be wall-to-wall questions. Why don't our palms, the palms of our hands, get sunburned? When did the little green man become part of alien folklore? Why don't we get mongrel birds? I actually really like that question. How long does it take to replace blood after you've given it? And what does the Queen do if she's caught short on a long car journey? 0345 606 0973. Lisa is in Tunbridge Wells.
Oh, hello, James.
Hello, Lisa.
So excited.
So am I now. So am I now.
Yes. I have no fillings, brush my teeth really well.
Well,
yet, when I have like a metal spoon and it's against a metal bowl,
yeah.
Why do I get a metallic taste in my mouth? Why do I get that twang in the back of my teeth?
Is it the same as you get with fingernails on a blackboard?
I think so, but I don't get a taste in my mouth if I scrape my fingernails on a blackboard. So it's not a kind of like, ooh, a shiver down my spine.
Oh, okay.
It's if I'm eating, like when, for instance, when I was pregnant, I got a metallic taste in my mouth. Don't know why.
Okay.
But then if I've got a metal spoon and I'm, say, scraping something out of a bowl, if I'm doing
I recognise what you describe. I just wonder whether the answer will be the same as fingernails on a blackboard. But the metallic taste could be your brain playing tricks on you or something like that.
That's what I want to know. Is it like little particles of metal?
No, I don't know. You're not blonde by any chance, are you, after asking that question?
No,
I'm just wondering if we could maybe get a head start on the last question. No, it's not. When you empty the cat food into a metal dish, there are not tiny little bits of metal particle bombarding your teeth, Lisa. No.
Hopefully not with cat food.
No.
But it's that kind of thing. If you've got the metal against metal, but it doesn't give me a shiver down my spine, it just makes a funny taste in the back of my mouth.
Well,
I don't know why.
And you mentioned fillings. You see, if I use Kit Kat wrapper, in my old fillings, I don't think this works anymore. I think they've been replaced. But when I used to have metal fillings, Kit Kat wrapper on a metal filling was, I think it was like a little electric. You made an electric circuit, but it used to be appallingly squeaming making.
But it's exactly, that's what I mean. That kind of funny taste. So it could give you a shiver down your spine.
Yes. Yes, I shall try to find out for you. I like this question. I don't think you're alone.
You.
I think other people also have a strange reaction. And now that they've come to think of it, maybe they'll be thinking, yes, I do actually oddly get a weirdly metallic type sensation in. Keith says no, but then Keith doesn't. You do quite a lot of cooking, don't you? So it could be. Right, Lisa, leave it with me. I shall try to find out for you. Metallic sort of taste. It's more like taste isn't quite the right word. There you go. That was the right word. If anyone wasn't paying attention, the word I just invented was ling, 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 ling. Anna Lee is in Tadworth. Question or answer?
Hello, James. An answer.
Carry on, Anna Lee.
It's the palms of the hands.
Oh, why don't they get sunburn?
Well, they can get sunburned.
Yes.
As in, if anyone's sunburned just on their fronts and burn the soles of their feet. It's very painful, but they will actually sunburn.
I got sunburn once on. Well, I don't know if it was sunburn or whether I actually burnt the palms of my feet because the sand was so hot. But the point, I think the question then needs to be slightly finessed, doesn't it? Is why do they react differently to the sunlight from most other skin?
Because they don't have melanocytes in the skin, which produce the melanin.
There you go. Which means
in
that...
In the same way that if you have vitiligo, you have patches of skin that don't have melanocytes.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And just to
but
deal with my
ignorance... But the reason they don't burn is because of our posture.
Because they don't get exposed
because
to the sun.
Most of the time our hands are hanging down at our side, so they're facing our legs.
So if I lay on my sunbed, and I apologise for the excitement that this will engender among many listeners. If I'm lying on my sunbed in my Speedos, if I have my palms up to the sky, I would actually get sunburn on them. But my posture is such, my physiognomy is such, like most humans, that they simply wouldn't be facing upward.
Yes.
Well, that's actually a really boring answer.
On your front, your feet face up.
Which is why
you can't avoid that.
Which is why you put your little towel over them, don't you?
Yes.
Or something like that. Or the kids' wet cozzies, that kind of thing. It's not a very exciting answer, that.
No.
Why don't the palms of your hand get burnt in the sun? Well, because we don't really expose them to the sun much. He's got yes. qualifications?
I studied applied biological sciences.
Oh, well, there you go. You've rescued that one. Round of applause for Anna, please.
Thank you.
No, thank you. And there it is. I mean, it's no great mystery, really, and you come to think about it. Why did this get sunburned? Because they don't get exposed to the sun much. Jake's in Plymouth. Jake, question. Oh, no, Grant's in Bermondsey. Grant, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on, Grant.
I can't believe the first thing I'm calling in for is to answer about little green men.
I love it.
Bloody ridiculous. Yeah. Okay, so you kind of did already answer it. It's a cultural meme that's adapted over and over again, but I can specifically pinpoint the big head with the big eyes, you know, the kind of thing that I'm talking about. So the first alien kind of reference like that was made after Betty and Barney Hill were abducted in the late 60s on their way home from Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and they reported being taken up in a ship and being experimented on, and they said that the people that were operating on them or looking after them were small with big heads and bulbous eyes. And it kind of just adapted from there. Where the green kind of comes from is a little bit more of a...
you're saying the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Mekong?
The Mekong?
Yeah.
I don't know about the Mekong.
Dan Dare's fabled enemy was a tiny little body with an enormous green head. And that's pre-60s.
I don't really know too much about... That is pre-60s as well.
No, it's pre-60s, mate. Seriously. Pre-60s. Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know on that one. Well, I feel like I've failed.
So it's comic art. Here, but... Comic art, you see.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about there.
What are your qualifications?
I was just into aliens and stuff when I was a kid, I guess.
Yeah, because do you know what I think? I think Betty and Barney Hill probably described something that was already an established meme.
Yes, absolutely. It's quite likely the case. But after that, that's when you had loads of people reporting that they were being abducted by aliens that were small and had big bulbous heads and bulbous eyes and stuff like that.
I'm going to give you a round of applause. Because it's your debut.
Thank you.
Because it's your debut on the program, and you still can't quite believe the topic that you chose to break your duck.
So, I did indeed.
So have this thank with my confidence. No, thank you very much. And also Betty and Barney Hill are names that we hopefully will remember next time they come up in a pub quiz or something like that. But a few people have pointed out actually, even Wayne in Basildon reminds us of the Dan Dare comics. You're a bit wrong. There was only one Mekong, I think, Wayne. I think the Mekong was the leader of the baddies, so it wasn't like an army of Mekons. But they were green men with massive heads. And the Eagle comic my dad read as a kid. So that's definitely pre-60s. It's coming up to 12:30. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Holly Harris is here with the headline.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
It's 12:34. Listen, I share this stuff with you because I think somebody should do. It's out of respect for you. And... a belief that ultimately facts will always prevail. But of course, they're not facts because the ground beneath our feet could shift slightly before various deadlines are reached. However, on Monday, when somebody drew my attention to the fact that Ryanair were advertising a jobs fair in Manchester, which, when we looked at the terms and conditions that you would need to fulfil in order to apply for a job as cabin crew, it became very, very hard to see how anybody who only possessed a British passport would fulfil those criteria come January of next year, because you wouldn't be able to move freely between various European bases. So I issue the same caveat with what I'm about to share with you now, and I'm only mentioning it because the Bosman ruling in football came up in the course of the second hour of the programme when we were looking at putative or possible things that Sajid Javid could be told to do when he asks for advice next month on which EU red tape you want to be rid of. I just mentioned this, and it's in the Liverpool Echo. And obviously their news pages will reflect the passion for football in that region. But just listen to this. Premier League clubs are asking for an extension to the transfer window. Would you like to know why? Because it is still possible, in fact, as things stand, it will be the case that this is the last transfer window where freedom of movement is possible. So the head of the Premier League, Richard Masters, has suggested that changes to the immigration system following the UK's exit from the European Union could mean that signing players from other European Union countries becomes considerably harder than it currently is. So just putting it out there, freedom of movement, it's awful. Well, you could probably get a game for Arsenal if you hang around for long enough, Grandad, because they're going to be picking from a much smaller pool now. I mean, how many clubs? Leicester's all right, isn't it, for English players? Isn't it? Leicester's quite a good... And I've got, it's in the back of my head somewhere, I've got Everton as well as having quite a good feeder system at the moment for English players. But you, who do you support? This was what I felt was odd about freedom of movement, is that it may well get an exemption for footballers, but why should footballers get an exemption when plumbers don't? You see? So all to play for. Jake's in Plymouth. Jake, question or answer?
Hi, James. I'm afraid it's another question, but before I give you that, can I just tell you I really enjoyed seeing you on Countdown, but hopefully you'll be in Dictionary Corner sometime soon.
Well, that's very kind of you, Jake. It was a great pleasure, actually. I did rather better on that than I did on Celebrity Pointless, which is yet to reach our screens, but I am going to completely blame that on my partner when the moment arrives. Back to the question in hand.
Okay. Just before I get to that, I'd like to thank you. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners will also note that when it counts, you have a lot of kindness in your voice. Question, why did children in schools many years ago get restricted, reprimanded, sometimes quite severely, from writing with their left hands?
I think it was religious. I think it was considered a mark of evil or wrongness. I mean, the Latin word for left is sinister, you know. Sinistra or sinister. There's something in it. I'm not going to claim the answer to this, but I mean, you used to get it strapped, didn't you, so you couldn't use it, and you'd have to force yourself to work with your right hand. So conformity and all of the uniformity and all the obvious stuff is going to be part of the subtext, but not the actual reason. I think the reason was that I hesitate to say this in 2020, but I think it was...
I don't think it was religious, to
be
honest.
Do you not? You don't think it was something to do with the devil?
No. Oh. I mean, I'm 53, and my mum was really traumatised by having her hand strapped behind her back at school.
I've heard it before. There you go.
She wasn't in a religious school.
No, so but that might be how it started, and then it kind of morphed over the generation, so that it just became another thing that people did because they didn't like difference. But I shall, I like that question. Why was being left-handed frowned upon so severely for so long? I like that a lot. Jake, thank you. And thank you so much for your kind words. I do appreciate them. And sometimes, you know, I get a bit embarrassed when people say lovely things to me on the radio, but I wouldn't want anyone to think that I was glossing over it or not suitably appreciative. 12:39 is the time. Origin of the notion that blondes are dumb, please. How long does it take to replace all the blood in your body after you've donated a pint? Why don't birds dooby-dooby-doo? Origin of the little green man still there, although I think we're going to be looking at comics. We've done the palm burns. Why is being left-handed frowned upon so much? And why does the metallic sort of taste almost in your mouth kick in when metal scrapes on metal within your hearing? 03456060973. And what does the Queen do if she's caught short on a long car journey? We need an answer to that one. Lee's in Swanley. Lee, question or answer?
Hello,
Lee.
Hello.
Hello,
great program, James. Answer to the bird thing.
Bring it on, Lee.
It's a myth. Birds do breed with other birds.
No, they don't.
I wouldn't say it's incredibly common. The needs have got to be very similar. The birds have got to be very similar to each other. I'll give you an example. The white-headed duck has mated with the ruddy duck. The ruddy duck is an invasive species. This is in this country. It comes from America. So the concern is that the white-headed duck will be eradicated. Another example, in Spain where I used to live, there's a lovely bird called the Spanish sparrow, which is much more exotic than the common house sparrow.
Oh, yeah.
But the exotic Spanish sparrow is on the edge of being made extinct because it has mated with the common sparrow. They're very similar. But another example where they're not absolutely similar is in falconry, where people mate birds of prey together. Of course, that's in confinement. For example, a merlin will be mated with a peregrine falcon and they produce a purlin.
Is that right?
And you've had this on before, this question.
Oh, yeah, don't spoil it. I was beginning to think that I might have done. Did you answer it last time?
No.
Well, mate, I'm 48 now, Lee. I can't be expected to remember every dot and comma that's unfolded on the programme over the last X number of years. I am personally familiar with a house finch being bred with a canary.
All right, OK, there you are then.
So it does happen, but the answer is that it doesn't happen like it does with dogs, because dogs are all the same species and birds actually are not all the same species. So you can have some breeding between birds, but they will be of the same species. And there are many, many different bird species, so the parallel with dogs doesn't work.
Yeah, that's right. And as I said, the requirements for dogs, say a pug and an Alsatian, you breed them together, that will work. But you can't have an eagle breeding with a wren. A wren is, that does eat, but he's a meat eater. But you see what I'm saying.
No, well, they're different species.
Yeah.
So a fox doesn't breed with a dog, does it?
No.
As Jason Farrell of Sky News has pointed out in one of his more perspicacious texts to the programme. You don't see foxes getting it on with dogs. But birds... No, but I like this. Qualifications, Lee, you're over the line.
Well, a bird watcher, lifelong-term bird watcher and part-time ecologist.
Where's your favourite spot for birding?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a place called Capel Flea. It's on the Isle of Sheppey. It's got a viewing point for raptors, birds of prey. You can see about 20 different birds of prey
there.
Are you
serious?
It is fantastic.
You know, you've got... It's a bit like... What's the word I'm looking for? It's all under your nose, or not under your nose, literally, but metaphorically. You need someone to help you, don't you, sometimes, just to get into it. And then once you're into it, you'll see things off your own back. Do you know, what's his name? Do you know David Lindo? Have you ever come across David Lindo?
He's the London bird watcher,
That's
isn't
the
he?
Fella, yeah, the urban birder. Yeah. He took me out to Wormwood Scrubs once. I can't remember if I've ever told you this story, Lee, but I know Wormwood Scrubs quite well. I used to fly my kite there and, you know, knock around there quite a lot. But with David, many moons ago, I think we recorded it for the programme, actually. With David, he just knew what to point at and show me. So I'm standing in the middle of Wormwood Scrubs and he goes, oh, look at that. And a flipping kestrel with a vole in its talons swoops down, lands on a post in the middle of the field and starts having its lunch. And I couldn't believe my eyes. And he's utterly, utterly unfazed by it because, as you would know, as a proper birder, that's a perfectly normal occurrence.
Of course, yeah.
I loved it. Yeah. Really exciting.
And when you're talking about birds of prey, we're having a very, very good spell at the moment.
Are
all
we?
These birds of prey that were persecuted are coming back. The only bird that is persecuted to death is the hen harrier.
That's correct. And that's on the grouse moors, is it?
Exactly that. But we've got hundreds of marsh harriers.
Oh.
Hundreds of red kites.
Well, I know there's hundreds of red kites. You only have to drive through the Stoke and Church Gap and you feel like you've landed in an Alfred Hitchcock film sometimes. Have you ever been to North Norfolk? Have you ever got out in Norfolk onto the...
Oh, yes. I love Minsmere on the Suffolk coast.
Yeah, Minsmere's lovely. I know Norfolk better than I know Suffolk, but some of the wading birds there are really special. Give a round of applause to Lee for that, please. You know, one of the weirdest things about reaching your late-ish 40s is that little voice in your head that says, oh, you must get around to doing more of that when you're older, then now adds, no, you are older. This idea that it's something you can put on your existential to-do list. No, mate, you're older now. If you don't get around to doing it soon, you never will. For example, I accepted last year, in the absence of a Euro Millions win, it's highly unlikely I'm ever going to live in a house with a moat. I always presumed, on some level, that I would live in a house with a moat one day. I don't know why either. Don't look at me like that. I just seemed commensurate with my sense of self.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
The government wants emergency legislation to keep jailed terrorists in prison despite their right to be released. Does your security matter more than legal rights?
Sheila Fogarty on LBC.
It's not about being one of those people who knows where every penny has been spent on it. It's more about recognising the importance of value for money and seeing ways in which you can maximise it. So the Platinum Cashback Everyday Credit Card, one of Amex's most straightforward cards, gives money back to customers as they make their purchases. And that's on all purchases that you make. There's no fee. There's a 5% cashback on all purchases in the first 3 months, up to a limit of £100. Representative 22.9% APR variable. Terms and conditions apply. Search Amex Cashback for further information and to apply.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It's 12:49. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. And the conversation continues on Mystery Hour. Questions that still need answers. Actually, shall I just crack on? Because I think we might be able to clear the board today. Which one do we need? Which one is still waiting for an answer? The origin of the notion that blonde women are dumb. 03456060973 is the number that you need. Tom's in Leytonstone. Tom, question or answer?
I've got an answer, James.
Carry on.
It's about blood transfusions.
Oh, yes.
It depends what you want to know. You'll replace the blood volume very quickly in the region of 12 to 48 hours.
Oh, really?
But but the red blood cells that go, they take about weeks to come back.
So the phone line's not great. In terms of...
Oh, sorry.
No, it's not your fault. And I don't think, well, unless you run the sort of telecoms systems. So in the context of the total amount of blood in my system has gone down by a pint and it will go up back to where it was before it went down by a pint, that's 24 to 48 hours.
Yes, yeah.
And the bit about the red blood cells, which I don't really understand, so forgive me, but explain.
So when you donate blood, it's blood is not just a fluid, it's blood cells suspended inside a fluid. And so you lose blood cells and the fluid.
Yes.
The fluid comes back fairly quickly in the form of plasma, so you regenerate the plasma in 12 to 48 hours.
Oh, okay.
But the red blood cells that go within that fluid, they take a bit longer because your bone marrow has to kick out new ones. And
you wouldn't want me to give blood again until the red blood cell count had gone back up again.
I think that's why NHS blood and transfusion set a time limit as to how often you can donate to allow the red blood cells to recompensate.
Love it. Qualifications?
I'm a doctor.
That's a relief, because if you'd said window cleaner, you'd have put me in a very awkward situation. Round of applause for Dr. Tom, please. Thank you, Tom. 12:51. Just out of interest, are you a GP or a hospital doctor?
A hospital doctor.
Have you had any... I mean, this is slightly... It'll sound like a silly question, but I'm genuinely curious. Been people worried about coronavirus?
Yes, and probably out of kilter for how they need to be worried.
Of course.
You're far more likely still to die from your heart attack or your diabetes or your stroke.
Yeah.
Before you get stressed
about
this.
All right, Chuckles. I was asking about the coronavirus.
Bit the fags in your bucket of fried chicken first.
I know what you mean. The notion of a healthcare crisis actually is newsworthy, but in terms of personal health, you'd be a lot better off worrying about the things Dr. Tom mentions than worrying about coronavirus, unless you're on that cruise ship, which is just not funny anymore. It was quite funny when it started, but now I think they've got confirmed cases of coronavirus growing daily. That's turning into a very poor Hollywood film at the moment. Thank you, Tom. John's in Leeds. John, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
Hello.
Hello.
I have an answer to the Queen's question.
We're just going to see what we can do to your phone line. I don't know what happened between you talking to the producer and talking to me, but we wouldn't inflict that upon our listeners for love nor money. What else have we got? So we've got dumb blonde. The Queen's... What does the Queen do if she's caught short on a long car journey? Why is being left-handed so frowned upon historically? And the metallic taste in your mouth that you get when metal scrapes metal near you. Just what's going on there? John's in Leeds. John, question or answer?
Hello, can you hear me now?
It's a little better, yes. But what have you got?
So the answer for the Queen toilet situation or resting situation is to jar places from north to south and east to west, usually in a police station, where they can stop to rest or whatever they need to do.
So there will be designated stations, stopping off points where the Queen would be able to use a lavatory should she so desire.
Yeah, the one that I know of is a massive police station, and they have a big suite, and they can either stop there in a helicopter if they need to, or in a car or whatever.
How do you know this? What are your qualifications?
I'm a digger driver, actually. So, but
I meant more in the context of how do you know this than what can you do for for a quid.
Police who told me that, who actually goes out if they come to visit Leeds or Wakefield or whatever, he's actually in charge of looking after their security a little bit. So
where's the one the one that he mentioned, that's near you, is it?
Wakefield, yeah.
It's in Wakefield. I like that, and I can't really see it being wrong, can you? Because, I mean, what else would make sense?
No, it's 100% right. They actually land there in a helicopter sometimes if the visit leads and they come up from London or wherever, land there, sort themselves out, get into a car, go wherever they're going to go.
I think that sounds beyond plausible. I think that sounds definitive. I'm going to give you a round of applause, but you have to give some of the applause to your policeman friend, all right?
I love the show, by the way. I've only just started listening and I think it's great.
Oh, well, thank you. I always get worried on days like today when the... Thank you, John. The numbers have gone a bit bonkers because, you know what they say, the only way is up. Tom, no, we're not doing Yaz, are we? We're doing the what goes up must come down. Tom's in Basildon. Tom, question or answer?
If you're talking to me, it's Glenn. Okay. How you doing, mate? All right?
All good,
sorry,
Glenn.
Mate.
That's all right.
Yeah,
what have you got?
How you doing?
All good.
Well, basically, left-handed, why is it considered evil or weird or strange?
Yes.
So, as far as Europe goes, see, it happens in a lot of different cultures for different reasons, but as far as Europe goes, it's actually an ancient Roman practice. It was just considered highly odd and unusual. Hence, we associate sin with sin dextrosum, which is left-handed in Latin. And through the spread of the Roman Empire, and then
no, that's not. You're right. To sinister is left in Latin, but the word for sin is not sin in Latin.
No. But what I'm saying is we associate sin because of the left-handed is considered odd in Roman culture, and then it was spread throughout the rest of Europe via Catholicism, which then they associated that word with
do you
being
think
left
really?
Off. Yeah, I've got this from various different sources, including a documentary and a Roman reenactor I spoke to.
No, I mean, it's a bit of an odd one, really, because I'm trying to think, what is it? Peccata mundi, Agnus Dei. Peccata is sins in Latin. Peccata mundi, the sins of the world.
Peccare
would be the verb to sin.
Quite possibly. However, what you're going to say with many cultures and languages, especially because obviously I do Anglo-Saxon stuff as well,
yes,
you often find there are several different words for one specific thing. So you can associate different words with the same object or the same action.
No, I know. And I'm going to give you a round of applause because you're so knowledgeable generally, but I'm not sure we've gone fully definitive on this one.
Yeah, fair dues.
Stay there. Let me have a quick word with Harry in Ashford. Harry, can you help? Harry?
Harry.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing? All right?
Yeah, I'm all right. What have you got?
Good. Okay, left-handed.
Yes.
I think back in days gone by, people used to write with quills and fountain pens.
Yes, they did.
And used to dip their quills in inkwells.
Yes.
But if you're left-handed, you're dragging your hand over what you've written.
Well, that's even worse. I mean, you're kind of right, but left-handed people actually write from above, so that there is historically ways around that. You're kind of both half right. I'll give them a round of applause to share. All right, don't fight among yourselves, General. All right, cheers, Glenn. Mind there you go, Harry. But we're not fully there. Oh, I'm glad with that Peccata, though. If my dad was still alive, that's the kind of thing he wanted in return for all those school fees. What's the Latin word for sins, James? Well, if one thinks of the Agnus Dei, it would have to be Peccata Mundi, ergo. Sins of the world. As you can tell, there's a fellow Catholic in the room. Sheila Fogarty chuckling in the background.
I knew that too.
Welcome to the Million Listener Club, Sheila Fogarty.
Thanks very much.
It's nice.
Yeah.
How's the view up here?
It's very, very lofty indeed, yes.
Isn't it just?
Very lofty.
Round of applause for the lads. Oh, no, is this for Sheila, for joining the Million Club? There you go. You've always wanted one of
Thank
those.
Thank you, yeah.
Tony's in Chertsey. Tony, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry
it's an answer to the question about that funny feeling, or that metallic feeling in the mouth.
Yes.
Which, as I understand it, is caused by an electrolytic action. I assume this is when a spoon is put in the mouth or some metal goes in the mouth.
She said not. And she said it was only when stirring it in the vicinity of said mouth.
No, all right, then my answer is nothing to do with that.
Oh, really?
I thought there was contact, you know, you put a spoon in your mouth.
Couldn't you? Yeah, but you don't need full contact. Couldn't you be charging some of the metal in your body?
No, you do need full contact.
All right, mate. All right, Professor.
Well, if I'm right...
I think you're more right than I am. I'm talking gibberish.
I'm not trying to take over Professor Howell's exalted position. You know?
Where is he this week, I wonder? That's outrageous. So for your answer to work, there would have to be physical contact between the body and the metal. Well, she was fairly clear that wasn't the case, I'm afraid. So I'm going to give you a round of applause because I'm doling them out like confetti.
Well done, James. Well done, Tony.
But that is the one that we that and the dumb blondes that we haven't satisfactory. And the left-handed one, actually, I quite like the argument that Roman soldiers marching in formation, if the left-handed ones would mess everything up, that actually makes sense. And I quite like this one just because I'm 48 on the outside, 13 on the inside. So thanks to Mick for this. Left-handed, James, it's because Kronos castrated his father and used the left hand to throw the genitals into the sea. And on that bombshell, here's Sheila Fogarty.
Thank you very much indeed. Later on today, Labour Deputy Leadership candidate Richard Bergen, unintentional, says he wants to change party rules to allow members a veto on any leader's decision to go to war. Is that even workable in the face of a genuine threat? How prepared are you to say yes to military action and war? Straight up after the news, by the end of the month, a Sunderland shopkeeper turned violent jihadi who urged people to murder other people is due to be automatically released from jail, as is his legal right. The government, though, wants emergency legislation and sharpish to retrospectively change the rules and leave him there. Do you support the government on that?